Working. Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome into a special edition of the Couch Potato Sports Show over on NDB Media. I just had some time, and I'm a little bit bored, and because the game is boring. Jeez Louise, how about the Broncos? Broncos having their way right now with Kansas City. 17-0 in Kansas City. Tough place to usually get a victory in reality, but however, here we are. And we're here we are, as far as, the Peyton Manning just does what he does, man. What is it about Peyton Manning that he is able to put it together each and every week? And the thing about that is when you talk about Peyton Manning and what he is capable of doing on a weekend, week out basis, you have to ask, how the hell does this guy do it, especially with his age and everything else? And I think it just comes from the desire to win. And he's had that ever since college. All we got to do is ask Cuervo about that. He watched him in Tennessee when he is a big Tennessee fan. He still is a big Tennessee fan. But, this guy is just able to put it together each and every week. I just don't know what it is. He'll have a bad game here and there, just like Tom Brady. And then everybody will say, well, is he washed up? And we'll start talking nonsense like that, like they did with Tom Brady. But as he sits right now, as we're on live right now, game is set at 4 minutes and 30 seconds left to go here in the first half, 17-0 Denver. It's been all Denver. It's been nothing but Denver, and I just got sick of it. I got home about 15 minutes ago, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch a game, although I was listening to it in the car, and I was like, oh, geez, this is actually quite boring. So I wanted to get on, and I wanted to get on into Tarvin's room. And Tarvin, unfortunately, did not have a show. He went ahead and canceled his show tonight. So I was like, heck with this. I'm going to go ahead and put it together, and we'll talk some sports. We'll be talking mostly NFL, because that's what happened here today. It was all about the NFL over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We previewed all the games that were going to happen this week. And not to brag or anything, I had a pretty good day. Especially, as far as the picks that I made today. But that definitely better than Thanksgiving, where I went 1-2 in the three games that were on Saturday. But I let everybody know about the show. If they want to hop on, they can do so. But I'm just going to review some of the things and some of the scores and some of the stats that we've seen in the games so far, today. And I want to start with the big game, of the early game, the San Diego Chargers getting the big victory, 1-point victory over the Baltimore Ravens. And this was a classic choke job. Sorry, it was. Because when you looked at this game and you wanted to see what this game was all about, you saw a Ravens team that pretty much had this game in hand. And then they let it go. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens at this time of the year, you can't do that. You just cannot put yourself in that position when you are fighting in this division, in the AFC North, to screw it up. Had a perfect opportunity to get right up in there, and they blew it. So as we go into this regular season, the Arizona Cardinals were in a place where they had to get the win. At 9-2, they didn't do so. But it was probably, when you look at the AFC, this was an important game as far as the Baltimore Ravens are concerned. Right now they're 7-5, and this is not the time, first of all, for them to take that step backward. When you saw the scoring and when you saw what was going on in this game was all Baltimore, and then they let it go at the end. And that is one of the things Baltimore cannot let happen, especially if they want to make the playoffs. Chargers get the job done. Phillip Rivers wasn't great, although 34 of 45, 383, three touchdowns and interceptions out on the field. Joe Flacco was 19 of 31, 225, and two touchdowns, no interceptions. But here's the thing, you've got to be able to get the first down. You've got to be able to move it. And this game started off with a 16-yard pass to Torrey Smith for the touchdown. Then they missed out on an opportunity on a turnover, and they only got a field goal out of the turnover. And that's when the touchdown started coming back for the Chargers. As Philip Rivers, he found Keenan Allen for a 12-yard touchdown, but then two more field goals, two more opportunities, one for 21 yards, one for 29 yards. Right in the red zone, no scores as far as touchdowns are concerned. Then they match those two field goals, and then they are down 10. And then they do get the touchdown in the third quarter from Torrey Smith with the 10-yard touchdown pass. And then it was the fourth quarter. Ryan Matthews, 14-yard touchdown. Joe Flacco gets a 1-yard touchdown. But then Keenan Allen, they go ahead and get a touchdown. And where they needed to match that, instead of getting the touchdown, they get the field goal, and then they open it up for a 1-yard touchdown pass to the Royals for the game. That game was well in hand by Baltimore, and they let it go. They let that thing slide away from them. So, especially in this division and what's going on, they let that one go away. And that's one that they're going to end up heavy. Can't let San Diego score 21 fourth quarter touchdown points. Just can't let it happen. And that's what happened in this game. And Baltimore was at home. They thought they'd be able to hold it off, and that didn't happen. So Baltimore first really falling victim to what you've seen out on the football field in reality. And if you're Baltimore, you got to just tuck your tail between your legs and move on, because you blew it today. Another team that blew it was Cleveland, and I told everybody don't fall for the hype on Cleveland, okay? They scored 3 points in the first three frames of this game against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills didn't score at all in the first half, but then came out charging 14 points in the third and 12 in the second. They beat the Cleveland Browns 26-10. But what the story was all about, Brian Hoyer, 18 of 30, 192 yards, just wasn't effective at all. Never mind the interceptions, two of them. So what do you get? You get Johnny Manziel going out there and showing that he can move the ball down the field better than Brian Hoyer. I had said all year long they should have started this guy. I know, I hate him. Just like everybody, I think, you know, everybody on the Couch Potato Sports Show, I'm no great big fan of them. Let's go ahead and bring in the area code 954. Good evening. You're on the Couch Potato Sports Show. What's up?
Hello.
Good day. What you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about the this weekend in NFL. The really good games, actually. With, of course, there was Packers getting that victory over New England Patriots. There was the Chargers last second. I mean, yeah, Packers getting victory over the Patriots. Yeah, that's what I said. Chargers getting their win over the Baltimore Ravens. There's I'm calling from South Florida, and so I'm a Dolphins fan. Dolphins are taking on possibly one of the worst teams in the league, the New York Jets.
Another thing I thought was surprising, having like seeing the New York Giants losing to one of the worst teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'm calling from South Florida, so like I'm a Dolphins fan. Like, can the Dolphins come back? They had a tough loss against Denver, but they're now facing a very horrible New York Jets team. Can they still make the playoffs or at least a wild card?
Well, that is interesting that we were talking about the standings, and if you go over into the AFC and talk about the East, that might be a hard time getting the East championship, but making a wild card, it's kind of wide open, because if you look at Miami needs to win. first of all, they can't lose to the Jets, even though this game is in New York. I expect them to get the win because Rex Ryan and company have given up on the year. They don't care if they win, and they just want to make a good play here and there. That's one of the problems right now as far as the Jets are concerned. But Miami cannot let just slide on this team. They got to go out there and beat them. If they beat them, they'll move to 7-5. They'll be tied with Buffalo just right there in the AFC. But then all the teams in the AFC North, Cincinnati, 8-3-1, they're probably going to win the division quite possibly. But then you got Baltimore at 7-5, Pittsburgh at 7-5, and Cleveland at 7-5. Baltimore loses today, Cleveland loses today, Pittsburgh loses today. All three of those teams lost in this division. Then you got Houston, who right now are 6-6. They get the victory. If they keep winning football games, they have a possibility to shoot it. But over in the AFC West, Denver, right now, they're probably going to get the win. Right now, they're up 17-0 the last I looked. San Diego's 8-4, and then Kansas City 7-4. They'll probably lose. They'll probably dump to 7-5. It's going to be tough for Miami to get in there because I don't know what the head-to-heads are, but as of right now, as far as the division is concerned, Miami's 2-1 in the division, which is really good, and in conference, they're 5-3. So they're doing pretty good in the conference. That might help them, but they're going to have to win more games in order to make it, and hopefully those teams that I mentioned, some of them start losing some games in the last 4 weeks of the NFL season.
Also, I would just like to mention as also in our team that if they can still make it, can the New Orleans Saints still make it? Because like they have won today against the Steelers. Well, they have just coming off losing 3 straight games at home inside the Superdome.
Yeah, and that's a tough one because you know it's Atlanta and New Orleans to division to lose in reality. And if I had to take a look and see what happened out on the football field today, Atlanta gets a good win today. It was a good win without question.
Superdome was a
the Arizona
tough place
Cardinals.
To play. The Superdome was a very tough place to play, and a lot of times. But now like they've just been losing at home.
Absolutely. At home right now, they're 3-3, and that's unheard of as far as that's concerned. But when I look at the personnel and I look at who's been there, done that, I still have a little trust in Drew Brees. And here's what the sad part about the NFC South is that the team that's going to win this division is going to be below 500. Or because I don't see a way that either Atlanta or New Orleans doesn't, you know, lose at least 2 or 3 more games throughout the rest of the season. So, and the Carolina Panthers, they just threw away their chances of winning the division if they got hot. But I think right now when I look at the team, I look at the personnel, and Atlanta, I don't trust. More so that if I'm going to trust any of them, I'm going to trust New Orleans. But that New Orleans Saint defense does need to step up for the rest of the season if they want to get that job done.
Okay, and then one more thing, I just want to say is I'm like, can the Dallas Cowboys still also make it? They're just coming off of a huge loss to the Eagles on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that was a big time loss because in that division they're out there looking right up on top of them. Now that the Eagles, they've got the tiebreakers, they're in the lead in the division at 9-3. Dallas Cowboys 8-4, and the Dallas Cowboys, this is the time they start crapping the bed, which is Thanksgiving, because they always have a horrible December. If the Dallas Cowboys can go 2-2 in the last 4. They will put themselves in a position where they will be 10-6 out on the season. And looking at this division, I think 10-6 gets them in. So the Dallas Cowboys need to at least get 2 of the last 4, and I think they get into the playoffs as a wild card. But as far as that division is concerned, the Philadelphia Eagles right now are the best team in that division, even with Mark Sanchez at the quarterback position.
Yeah, because you just said, like usually it's after Thanksgiving when the Cowboys – fall apart.
Yep.
Like they've always had like December has always been like a horrible month for them. It's like, you know, it's like they start to fall apart like something like right after their Thanksgiving game, pretty much.
Yep. Too much turkey. I don't know, maybe too much of that, what's that drug in the turkey. They just never get over it in the whole month of December. And if they want to become a good football team, if they want to be a team that people will take a look at and go, wow, we got to worry about the Cowboys, they have to win in December because it's all about momentum going into the playoffs, especially in the NFC. So when you are playing well going into the playoffs and you're an NFC team, you got yourself a pretty good role going on. And the Dallas Cowboys need to get past the first round this year, if not the second, and put themselves in a position where possibly they can play for the NFC Championship. But I don't see it because there's too many other good football teams. Right now, Seattle, I think I called it earlier in my show over in the Couch Potato Sports Show, the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to win another game for this season. They got the toughest schedule going out, and the only game that they could have won was today, and they ended up losing that one. Either Seattle and San Francisco. Right now, Seattle looks like the prime of that division, and San Francisco, if they go back on a little bit of run that before they hit Seattle on Thanksgiving, I think they're going to even surpass Arizona. So that whole division is going to be a really interesting division for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and also another thing about the Cowboys, you know, it's like they have to, like, you know, at least, like, try to win so they can, like, already, like, maybe, like, earn their spot in the playoffs already, you know? So, like, you know, it's like, so they don't have to worry about going into a Week 17, like, worrying that, oh, they have to win this game and they're in. And not only that, and there's even chance that, like, you know, like, Cowboys, they could finish 10-6 and not make the playoffs, you know what I mean? So, you know?
I think this year 10-6 will get the job done. As far as the NFC is concerned, I do, because some of the teams in the NFC are not putting it together. But if you take a look, the Dallas Cowboys have Chicago in Chicago on Thursday. They should get that victory no problem. The Dallas and Philly game can go either way. Then Dallas has Indianapolis at home. That one I don't expect them to win, but they get Washington in Week 17. That's where I think they'll probably get their 10th victory, and then they're going to have to hope something happens in order for them to make the playoffs. But a good 10-6 season for the Dallas Cowboys, that's two games better than the norm 8-8. That's something to build on, and Jason Garrett will save his job.
All right, and lastly thing, can the Bills even probably make the playoffs or just at least wild card? Right now they are in the hunt, you know, but like things have been tough, like, you know, they've been, of course, they're like losing, you know, the Bills have had a tough schedule, but like right now, like if they don't make the, like, you know, they've actually beaten like really good teams, you know, like they got a victory over like defeating the Chicago Bears way back in Week 1, and then a victory over Detroit Lions, and then of course, like, just last week they played New York Jets, but like that game was in Detroit due to so much snow in Buffalo, New York. So, like, it covered the whole stadium, so the game was in Buffalo. But like you know, they'll play the Packers. They're gonna have to play the Patriots a second time. So like can the Bills make it or not?
Well, like you said, but first, before they get as far as the Bills are concerned, their schedule plays out like this. They got Denver next week. Don't look good. Then they got Green Bay.
Denver next
week. Doesn't look good.
And Green Bay. And they got to play the Patriots for a second time.
Yeah, but in Week 16, they get the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that's a very winnable game for them. And then they get New England. So I really only look at Buffalo getting one more victory for the season. In reality, three of the last four are just brutal for this football team, and I think they're going to skip the playoffs. I think they're going to miss it. But sitting at second in that division at 7-5, I think that is really good for this football team. So I think they're going to end up this season. They get the opportunity to get one more victory, which will bring an 8-8 record.
Probably be the
which
Oakland
is good
Raiders
for Buffalo.
Like you said, next week they got Denver, and then. And then they got to play the Packers, and then of course they'll get the Oakland Raiders, and then of course Week 17 the New England Patriots.
Yeah. So one more game for the Buffalo Bills. I think they miss it. I don't think 8-8 is going to be good enough in the AFC to make the playoffs.
All right.
But you never know what will end up happening. That's just my guesstimation on what will end up happening. What did you think of Johnny Manziel? Did you get an opportunity to watch him today?
Actually, I just saw the highlights.
Yeah? And the highlights
were
bad?
I didn't even realize them. I thought either he was sitting in the bench or he's back at Texas A&M. Just watching the team.
Well, take away one play. Take away one play. Johnny Manziel didn't look any worse at all than Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer sucked.
You know, it's
so
almost like
he looked better than Brian Hoyer.
He's kind of like Tim Tebow. Right now, he's kind of like Tim Tebow. Where's Tim Tebow? Right now, he's on ESPN talking to college football.
Well, Manziel has proven that he could probably do something. And Tim Tebow, the whole situation with Tim Tebow is that he brings the baggage with him, and that's one of the problems. And a lot of people don't think he has a strong enough arm. Johnny Manziel has a good arm, so I think that might be the difference between Tim Tebow and Manziel, at least the argument right now.
Yeah. Well, it didn't even matter. The Browns still lost anyway.
Yeah, if they lost it, you know. But I mean, just to put it out there, he didn't look horrible. So the way it works. So you know, good stuff. Anything else you want to talk about?
Hold on. Wait. Actually, just one more thing.
Sure.
Okay. Hold on a second. Oh my gosh. Could it be possible that maybe if the Patriots will and the Broncos will meet once again in the AFC Championship?
I like it. I like the chances of it. And the main reason is because right now I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, even though they lost today. They lost to Green Bay, which I think is going to be the Super Bowl, by the way, the Green Bay Packers and the Patriots. That's where I think that's going to end up.
I was actually really surprised at that because they beat so many division leaders. You know, the Patriots, like, they beat the Cincinnati Bengals, they beat the Denver Broncos, Denver Broncos, they beat the Colts and last week they beat the Detroit Lions.
Yep.
They beat, like, a whole bunch of division leaders.
Yep. They're a good, damn good team. This is the best I've seen. And I told myself a couple of years back I wasn't going to pick the New England Patriots to make it to the Super Bowl anymore. But this team just looks so much better right now. And Tom Brady does exactly what a Hall of Fame quarterback and a good quarterback does. He makes other players on that team a lot better than they really are, and that's the reason why you're seeing New England being there. And I love Bill Belichick's quote when he was asked, well, are you going to give consideration starting the backup? And his answer was, yeah, okay. And then that was the answer. Everybody who wrote off Tom Brady early in the season is definitely having a crow sandwich here right now.
All right. I think that's all I just wanted to say.
Sure. No problem. Hey, thanks for giving us a call here. We don't always do the show. I just happen to be bored because the game is so horrible tonight. And make sure you join us. We're always on at, by the way, Kansas City up on the boards, 20-7. But join us on Sports Talk with the guys on Saturday morning. And we look forward to talking to you.
All right, bye.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for giving us a call in. That's the second time he came in here on NDB Media Sports. This is the Couch Potato Sports Show via NDB Media Sports. By the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars got the win today. I went on the limb today. It's probably the first game I picked them this year, and sure enough, I went out on the limb, and they got the victory today. So as far as being happy about the Jaguars getting the win, it was a good win. I mean, over a two Super Bowl champion, Eli Manning and the Giants. And the Giants had this game, actually, in reality. Giants should have won this football game. They let the Jaguars score three field goals in the fourth quarter. And they only put up one. And in the second half, they let the Jaguars score 22 points. After only scoring 3 points in the first half, the Giants were up in this game 21-3 at halftime. This game was over. And they blew it. So what we're going to do here really quick is we're going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and I'm going to answer the phone on the other line. We will be right back.
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. after that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
We are back here on the Couch for Today, the sports show. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. I had to grab the phone. It's business. So I'm just kind of doing this by the seat of my pants here tonight. So I had to take that call. But here we are again here on a Sunday night. We're just reviewing some of the things that happened in the games earlier today. And we were talking about the Jaguars before I had to jump off really quick and grab that number. But you looked at the game as far as the Jacksonville Jaguars, they get up on the board and they get the victory again. They are 2-10 on the season after the victory here. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, they went ahead and in the fourth quarter got a touchdown, missed the extra point, and then they got the field goal. So I was incorrect about the three field goals. I did forget that they scored the touchdown. New York, they came, you know, they were at the 23-yard line. Actually, mark that. They were at the 18-yard line and could not get in from the red zone. That cost them the game. But the Giants are not a good football team. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not a good football team, but if you're the Giants, you're supposed to beat that team. Eli Manning, 24-34, 247 in a touchdown, and on the other side, Blake Bortles for the Jaguars, 21-35, 194 in a touchdown. But Blake Bortles used his legs a lot here today. 5 rushes, 68 yards. Big-time deal there. But really, Rashard Jennings rushing the football 26 times, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a couple of them for 17 yards. Beckham had a great day, 7 catches, 90 yards. So he should get the job done, fourth quarter. And the Jaguars willed the victory out. In fact, they should have won by 2. The extra point was no good. It should be 26-24. But I called this game. It's because I don't trust Eli Manning. Do you? I mean, really, 3-4-7. 347-637-2306. You can get online. I don't trust him. I don't know how anybody can trust him. So the Giants going on yet another thing. They are going to, try to put something together, but it's going to be too late. Because looking at the standing in the East, you have Philadelphia 9-3, and the Cowboys 8-4, and the Giants are 3-9. They're done. NFC's wrapping up to be a really interesting division because you got Philadelphia, Dallas. They're probably going to make the playoffs, both of them. Green Bay and Detroit. Depending on Detroit, if I'll tell you, they got the victory on Thanksgiving, but they need to continue to win games. Someone's going to win the South in the NFC. And then Arizona, Seattle, and the 49ers. Those three teams are very interesting. The Arizona Cardinals are in a lot of trouble, folks. I called it on the Couch Potato Sports Show that they weren't going to win another game for the rest of the season. And it's not because I don't want them to. I want to see the Arizona Cardinals make the playoffs, but they're not going to do it because they're not going to win another game. They took the loss today to the 29-18. And I will tell you, and it's hard to win in Atlanta, but if there's a team that you can come back on in the fourth quarter, it's the Atlanta Falcons, and the Arizona Cardinals couldn't do it. Why? Because they got a young quarterback, and I don't want to bash the guy, But the simple fact of the matter is he's not Carson Palmer. Simple fact of the matter is Drew Stanton is not good enough. And Andre Ellington is not 100%. He went out of that game with an injury. So they got to go to a backup running back and a backup quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald was hurt. So you have John Brown, Michael Floyd, and, you know, as far as leading receiver is Larry Fitzgerald, but he's missed three games this year. John Brown, 39 catches, 559, and 5 touchdowns on the season. Michael Floyd, 31, 507, with 4 touchdowns. So the Arizona Cardinals are in a lot of trouble. And I put it out there. You want to hear? Listen to their schedule. I mean, the schedule for the rest of the season, they have Kansas City. I don't know how they're going to be Kansas City. I really don't. Even though Kansas City not playing well, they're playing Denver Broncos. They're just a damn good football team. But the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, beat the Arizona Cardinals, no quarterback. St. Louis, I'm telling you right now, St. Louis is the best worst team in the NFL right now, especially that defensive line. Looking good, playing well, getting victories against big teams. Denver and Seattle amongst their wins. They're not going to win this game. Then they got to play Seattle in Arizona. Again, no quarterback. And last game of the year, they got the 49ers. It's a tough, I don't see them winning the game for the rest of the year. And the Arizona Cardinals, unfortunately, are going to miss the playoffs. They're going to be 9-7 on the season, and it's not going to be enough. And I feel bad because I like the Arizona Cardinals defense. I like what they've been doing. I like their coach. I like everything in the direction that the Arizona Cardinals are going, and they're going very well for the last 2 years. But yet, a 9-7 and a 10-6 record, 10-6 last year, 9-7 last year, they miss it with 10-6. They don't even get to 10-6 unless they ink one out here in one of these last four games. But I don't even think that's going to be enough. So the Arizona Cardinals, I feel bad for them because I like that football team. But I like them more with Carson Palmer, and I don't even like him, but at least he is a veteran quarterback, knows how to get rid of the ball when he has to get rid of the ball. He's definitely improved since he was in Oakland, but then again, he was in Oakland. That part of it was probably not his fault. So the Arizona Cardinals, they're in a lot of trouble, and that's too bad for them. Because I don't expect three teams to come out of the NFC West. I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to win that division. They just showed here toward last week here and going in that they are the prime of that division. They're going to have a hard time beating the Green Bay Packers. If it ends up the way they match, I don't see them getting past the Green Bay Packers. I think the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFC. They got the best quarterback in the NFC. I don't care what anybody says. You can talk about, talk about Drew Brees. He's just not good enough. But no other quarterback matches up to him unless you want to think about Tony Romo. But those are stats, but not as far as winning games. I think Aaron Rodgers probably even beaten Tony Romo in stats. It's just the way it works. They're the best team in the NFC right now. Philadelphia is getting a lot. I'm going to tell you right now, I have to take a step back and Mark Sanchez. What I've just said is I don't trust him. I still don't necessarily trust Mark Sanchez, but he's getting the job done. 9-3 on the season. New York Giants lost 7 in a row. How does Tom Coughlin keep his job? He doesn't. Carolina Panthers have lost 6 in a row. How does Rivera keep his job? He probably will. But will Cam Newton be there next year? That's going to be the big question. I talked about it at the beginning of the season. Cam Newton's going to be in New York. Whether it's a Giant uniform or a Jet uniform, that's where he's going to be. And I'm on this one like flies on it because Cam Newton's not happy. He's coming off that injury. He's not 100%. And I think the Carolina Panthers are done with the Cam Newton experiment. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are horrible, 2-10. Lovie Smith's got a lot of work to do. I hope they don't one and done this guy. Will Jeff Fisher save his job? That's a good question. 5-7 on the season, but playing well. Not going to make the playoffs, but playing well. Has he done enough to keep his job? Chicago Bears, 5-7, not going to make the playoffs. Mark Trestman, does he keep his job? Minnesota Vikings improving. I like them. I like them a lot better without Adrian Peterson. What have they done with Adrian Peterson anyway? I'm so sick and tired of hearing about how great Adrian Peterson is at running back, but what have they done? Nothing. I don't want to hear about Adrian Peterson, how good he is. He's just not. Over in the AFC, we talked about New England. I think they're the prime of that. And then Buffalo. You know, Buffalo, I think they're only going to get one more victory. They got a tough regular schedule. Miami's got a tough regular schedule for the rest of it. I think only one team comes out of the East, because when you look at the AFC North, you've got all the teams with that are over 500, and all the teams have at least 7 victories on the season. That's incredible. But it just goes to show, you know, they're playing the AFC South, right? or the NFC South. So there you go. But still, so all 4 of those teams could be in contention, although I think Cleveland took a major step backward. Unless Johnny Manziel can, you know, provide them a spark plug and be that energy in order for them to win football games. I don't know. We'll find out. As the South, the Colts are pretty much right there. Houston, if they can put together some wins, 4 more games, maybe get to 10-6, maybe they can slide in. I don't know. I don't think so. Too many other teams. I think Houston might be on the outside looking at it. Tennessee and Jacksonville are just horrible. They combined, they're 4-20. God. AFC West, though, that's a good division. Denver's probably going to win tonight. He's probably going to improve to 9-4. Or 9-3. San Diego, they get the victory, improves to 8-4 today. Kansas City is going to remain 7 victories, but drop to the 5th one. But I think they got a better shot than Houston right now. Depending on how well the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cleveland Browns finish off, I think they're the better team. The Chiefs are the better team than the Buffalo Bills. So that's kind of the way I look at it. But these last 4 weeks in the NFL season are definitely going to, you know, put themselves together. It's going to be interesting to watch for the rest of the season. Good NFL day today. Let's go over the scores that happened today. San Diego gets the victory by 134-33. Cleveland loses today to Buffalo 25-10. The Tennessee Titans take the huge loss to Houston. Houston, 45 points on the board. Ryan Fitzpatrick back in the lineup for that football team. They get the victory. Indianapolis, huge victory, 49-27 over the Washington Redskins. Although Colt McCoy had a pretty good day today at the quarterback position, guys. 4 touchdown passes for Colt McCoy. I think they scored 27 points, and I bet you they're happy they played Colt McCoy than RG3, because that could have been worse. 393 yards, 3 touchdowns for McCoy, 31-47. You don't get that from RG3. You got to keep Colt McCoy as your quarterback. If you're the Washington Redskins, are you happy about that? Hell no, you're not. Because not only that, you're not getting any value out of RG3. They're stuck with RG3. And this is a team that's stuck. That's too bad. I wonder what kind of pressure there's going to be to play RG3 next year if he's still a Redskin. I bet you there'll be a lot of pressure. The question is will it continue, and will it remain RG3 job come next year, and they're just going to finish out the year, see what they get out of Colt McCoy? Because if you think Colt McCoy is the answer in Washington, you got a long way to think about it. There's some other teams, some other quarterbacks out there that could become available moving from the backup position that might be able to take over a team like the Washington Redskins. Also, Deshaun Jackson gets hurt on an accidental play. How's that going to affect them as well? Simple stuff. More stuff as far as more scores that are happening out that happened in the NFL here today. We talked about the Jaguars getting a 1-point victory over the Giants, 25-24. Minnesota, good win today over Carolina, 31-13. New Orleans Saints, I went back on my pick. I initially picked New Orleans to win, and then I seen the stats, I seen the numbers, I seen the Steelers were home. I changed my pick. Boy, do I regret it. But the Saints get the victory today, 35-32 over the Steelers. Oakland got blanked 52-0 by the St. Louis Rams. Sean Hill, I'm telling you right now, he was the best backup quarterback at the beginning of the season over on the Couch Potato Sports Show. The best backup quarterback that is actually on a team was Hill, the best quarterback in the NFL. as far as a backup is concerned, should have been Tim Tebow. But we won't get into that argument because every time I talk to anybody, I always seem to lose that argument. Don't know why. Tampa Bay, they take a one-point loss to Cincinnati. Cincinnati needs to blow teams out like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are they losing steam? They got a tie on the season as well. If they're still on top in the North, are they losing steam? I don't know. We talked about the Falcons getting the victory over Arizona 29-18. Green Bay getting a big victory. It was a Super Bowl preview. I told you that a couple weeks ago. I thought that the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFC and the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. And we can talk about this. Talk about a game that lived up to the hype today. How about that? First time that Brady and Aaron Rodgers meet up. Kind of cool. Kansas City gets a field goal. They've improved. It's 20-10. They're only down 10 to Denver right now. Will the Kansas City Chiefs be able to come back? Then that Monday night game, Miami. Miami should win this game, but they can't go in there thinking they're going to win this game. Because really, if we go back to the standings in reality, as far as the way, Miami has to get this victory. They're 6-5. They need to be 7-5 by the end of the day, at least tied with Buffalo, or they're going to kiss their playoff chances goodbye. So I don't know. Tough day in the NFL. So when I did my picks this morning, I only missed two games today. I missed the New Orleans game, which I originally had New Orleans, but I just changed it because I looked at numbers and they scared me. And I had the Baltimore game. The other ones I picked all day long, except maybe tonight, this Kansas City game, I might lose. I picked Kansas City to win. And Miami. But today, only two during the day, anyway. Only lost two games today. I was on. And Cuervo had a pretty good day as far as the picks were concerned today. And I'm pulling those up there to let people know. I'm checking the studio every once in a while, make sure in case someone called in. Cuervo had a pretty good day today. However, he missed a lot. He had better weeks in reality. So when you go into the overall, we pretty much were on the same road on Thanksgiving. We both went 1-3 on Thanksgiving. I had Minnesota, he had Carolina. We both missed the Pitt game. I had Jaguars, he had the Giants. We both missed the Baltimore game. And he told me I was taking drugs when I said the Atlanta Falcons were going to beat the Arizona Cardinals. So maybe I wasn't on the drugs. And I also had Green Bay, he had it. So I have 10 games this week. Should be 11, like I said, because I switched my pick. I shouldn't have done that. And there's still two more games going. So I had a pretty good week. On that being said, we're covering it all. Make sure you join us on, by the way, Thursday, we got a basketball game here. The Rowlett Eagles. That's right. My Lokes. My Lokes are out there. And we do the play-by-play for the Rowlett Eagles basketball team. That's the schedule that's going on. Then Saturday, of course, it is our regular Saturday show. It's called the Break It Down Show. It starts at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Be there for that. And then next Sunday, we'll do it all over again. On that being said, it's the NFL roundtable that we have each and every week. So I was talking a little bit earlier. And I was talking about the NFL. I was talking about some of the things that the NFL can do to improve themselves. And I've been getting a lot of emails. This week, I put out a post and just basically said Ray Rice was a scumbag. Now, those that listen to this show know that we do indoor football. So I know a lot of athletes within the indoor football leagues and stuff throughout this country. And I guess you could call them my friends or whatever you want to. You could do that. But I got bashed today. Ever since I put up the post on Facebook. And it's a post that I don't think is too far off in reality. And no, it's not the one that I said Brian Hoyer still sucks. But that's true. It was more about one of the situations as far as Ray Rice winning the appeal. It sickens me, guys. It really does. I mean, I just go back to the fact that if it was you or me, we would have, first of all, we would have never got a diversion program. We would have been in jail. And not only that, with our luck, the video would have came out before we went ahead and pleaded to the diversion program to where they couldn't come back on you on double jeopardy and say, no, well, actually, we're going to charge you with assault. He got that done really quick. Saved his butt in reality, because I know the authorities would have, the DA dropped the ball in that thing. So as I looked at it, you know, I got an email from one of the wide receivers out of the Colorado Ice, and he asked me this question: who am I to say what he deserves? Ray Rice. Who am I to say? Meaning Sonny. Who is Sonny in order to put that out what he deserves? I just know. Now, I'm not an athlete, but here's the problem. The athletes think that they are on a different level than regular people, and that's the problem. You can say what you want. You can argue with me all day long, but everybody knows that if you are an actual... Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hopefully you can hear me. So hopefully there's old Moxie's in there. And I know old Moxie, he is one of these guys that are set. So hopefully he's listening more so than typing, but because I'm not going to sit and type and talk to old Moxie today. I know what old Moxie is. He's one of these, I forget what they call them, creepers on the internet. Jumps on the internet, makes fun of everybody. Oh, good. You can hear me. Good. I forget what they call him. What do they call him? But anyway. But we're talking, let me get back to it. Hey, Moxie, give us a call if you want to, 347-637-2306. We're talking a little bit about Ray Rice. And with my dealings with the indoor football athletes and stuff like that, I was asked, you know, who am I to say what Ray Rice deserves? Well, you know, I just would like to see an athlete be treated like a regular person for once. I don't ask a lot. But if you or me, if you or I did what Ray Rice did, we'd be in jail. We wouldn't see the light of day. And who am I to think what he did? I don't think he deserves the second chance. No, hell with him. If you worked at McDonald's and did that, you wouldn't have a job at McDonald's. Okay, so it's just the way it is. Real life. The NFL and athletes that are professional athletes live in this fantasy world that they think they're above the common men. That's the problem. But that's what society labels them, so they, of course, take advantage of that situation. But as a common person, I'm tired of seeing it. And I will tell you, I know a lot of people. If any of the people that I'm associated with did what Ray Rice did, I would come right out and call them a scumbag just as much as I'm calling Ray Rice a scumbag. And here's one of the things. If you think Ray Rice deserves a second chance, I've got a question and wonder about your moral compass. And I think you'd change your mind if that was your daughter he hit. I don't know. So that being said, it's one of these things when you look at what happens on a regular basis, it works that way. So I want to try this. We'll bring him on. It's a Skype caller. You're listening to the Couch Potato Sports Show. Who's this?
Moxie. It's old Moxie. How are you?
Hey, old Moxie. How you doing? You're out trolling the chat rooms. How you doing tonight?
I am not a troll. On occasion, I do point out things that people are doing wrong. And I do on occasion point out ways they can improve. I am not a troll. I'm 83 years young, and I'm going to help these shows be good.
All right, then help me out. Make my show good. Now, what's up?
Well, first off, you're wrong. Wrong as you can be. If you have a tape of somebody being killed, can you put Pearson in jail forever just because of that tape? No. There has to be a trial, and someone has to be convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this Rice fella, there's been no trial. There's been no convictions. Just what we saw on the tape. You have no right to ban a man for football for life for doing nothing. Nothing. You wouldn't work in the real world. You know, he wasn't convicted of anything.
Well, that's true. Let me just correct you really quick, old Moxie, just really quick. He got that diversion plan before that video actually came out, so he saved his ass before it came down. If he didn't do that diversion program, which put him in a situation where he could not be tried again because he accepted the terms of the actual diversion program, there's no question in my mind, because of the video, he would have been convicted whether or not his girlfriend wanted to proceed with the trial or not.
I agree.
But just to put it out there.
But he did it. You know what I'm saying? He did it. He pulled it off. He's not going to be tried. Case closed.
He's just smarter than everybody
OJ
else,
was found innocent. OJ's done. Shut up. Leave OJ alone. OJ's found innocent. Quit it. He's done. If he wants to write a book about how he did it, okay. He's done. Michael Jackson was found innocent the second time. He's done. Leave him alone. If something doesn't come to trial, if something's thrown out of court, if somebody's found innocent, it's done.
Hold on. I get that what you're saying. It's done as far as how it is. But in the court of public opinion, okay, which, believe it or not, it still has a place right now. In the court of a public opinion, Ray Rice is a scumbag. And Ray Rice should not get the second chance because we live in a world where we see injustices such as Ray Rice get the advantages of what he has because of who he is. Now, and just put it out there, they shouldn't have that because when you go through these kind of things, as far as fairness is concerned, most of the athletes, are in a situation where they have an advantage and they're not going to get convicted. So, now, that's just real world right there, old Moxie.
No, look, he deserves to be treated different because he has a skill we lack. He's good at football. Do doctors deserve a Mercedes?
Hold on, old Moxie.
Yes.
Hold on. Oh, Moxie, I got some talent in other places too, though.
Okay.
But if I did what he did, I wouldn't have that job.
Yes, you would. If a doctor messes up and he's a good doctor, someone will find a way. I knew a gal, she was a judge, and a good judge. But she got it on with the prisoner. They found out about it, gave her the boot. So she went to a different state and was a judge there because she's a judge, and that's a skill, and that's important.
Yeah.
And he's a good football player. Doctors, the more valuable you are to society, the better off you should be treated. I'm sorry,
and that's
life
the
that's
a problem when an NFL player has more value than just
NFL
regular folks. That's the problem.
You know what it's called when everybody gets the same amount even though they're not entitled to it? Communism.
I knew it was going to be coming, though. That's the reason
it's
why I like that.
Everybody gets an equal share. Boom. Boom. You get out
equal
there.
Equal justice,
you know,
for equal,
you
people.
Know what?
That's
Farrah
what
Fawcett's
the United
husband,
States is about there.
Farrah Fawcett's husband used to beat her on TV, and she just burned his bed. You know, take action. Don't be a victim. Farrah Fawcett burned that fella's bed. Burned it good. You know, and she's an artist. You know.
Well, that wasn't her story. You do know that, right, Omoxley? She was playing
remember.
A part.
It's
she's an actress.
It's been a few years. I can't. She's married to Lee Majors for a while, but
that wasn't her story. That was a Lifetime movie. But I get your point.
Well, you know, she was good in that. She was in Logan's Run. She stunk in Logan's Run.
Let me ask you a question. Is your wife, are you married there, old Moxie?
My wife died in 84, but I was.
It was before that movie came out, so she passed before the movie came out. My
oh,
wife
no, that
still
movie came out
uses the burning bed against
she
me and she
we
gets
watched
mad
it
enough
together.
At me.
No, that movie came out in the 70s because we watched it together because I asked her she'd burn my bed. She said, hell yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I bet
and then she said,
threatened
then she
on
said,
you all the
gonna,
time, right?
She says, if If you was my husband, I'd poison your coffee. And I said, if you was my wife, I'd drink that coffee. Then it all started. We watched She Liked That, and she liked the one about the boy in the plastic bubble with Vinnie Barbarino.
John Travolta.
And
back
in the 70s, you had good shows like that. When the kids came
home
from school, there was Christy McNichols and good, wholesome television. Now, cartoons. Those cartoons are dumb. I watched when they're dumb. They don't even make sense.
That part, I agree with you.
Where's Christy McNichols getting her bike stolen because she didn't lock it? You know, these were good shows. Escape from Witch Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple
Dumpling
Game.
They remade that, by the way.
Crap. It can't be as good as the original. Not in your mind.
It had The Rock in it, so you probably wouldn't have enjoyed it.
I have no idea. I don't want to see a pebble or whatever. But look, back then they had good programs. Good stuff with these kids. And now it's
what
trash.
But you're a person that's been on this earth for a long time, old Moxie. I've only been on this earth only 47 years, and I've seen big changes just within the last 15.
You know about Christy McNichols and
I love
Howard
her.
Costell.
I was in love with her when I was
a young
boy.
You know, Howard Costell was a good... You know, one time, Howard Costell was in his yellow CBS jacket, and he was heading out of a Rose Bowl, and he saw some boys bullying a fella. He said, told the chauffeur driver, stop. And Howard Cosell got out and yelled at those children and said, don't you dare bully this kid. And he was three sheets to the wind at the time, but he did it. And that's the kind of people we need today.
Yo, Moxie, I will tell you, you crack me up and you make me laugh. By the
way,
we're at the end of our show, though, but thanks for calling in. I do appreciate it.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with a little nip. Harry Carey would call a Cubs game 10 times better if he'd had a few.
Absolutely.
And Howard Cosell was drunk out of his mind. And sometimes Patty Duke.
Hope everybody has a good evening. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're done for tonight as our time has run out. Catch you next time here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Goodbye.